So we pray, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, your face shining upon us, Lord, in getting the bride ready to go into rapture, bringing those out of the earth into a great resurrection, all to the wedding supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we thank you for that, Lord, that that wedding invitation was extended when you rapped at the door, you knocked at the door, Lord. We heard, we heeded. And we ask you, Lord, again, that you'd come into the midst of your church, little church here, Lord, representing perhaps the bride in the sense that we're a part of it, and other little groups meeting tonight also representing in their own little way because they're part. And Lord, we would love to know in our hearts by your power and your help that we are representing you in a way that is the way the Word wants it to be, wants us to represent you, Lord. We don't want to come with another message, another word, some other idea. We don't want that, Lord. We want to be one with you, and we pray tonight we are one with you through that word. We are one together by the blessed Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that as far as we've come, we know that you're with us, and as far as we're going, we know that you're going to take us. You brought us this far, you'll take us the rest of the way. We thank you, therefore, your help in this hour. Teach us, Lord, your word again as never before, and sink it right deep down in our hearts by way of the mind and the spirit, Lord, becoming one, Father. We really know this word and know where we stand in you, what the real truth in Christ Jesus is all about, because we're a part of it. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're into number 15 of the restoration of bride tree, and I'm not going to take a long preamble. Last Sunday, number 14, we found Brother Branham on page 75 actually identifying himself as the third prophet of righteousness, along with Luther and Wesley, although he does not give his name. Now, as there were four messengers with this with their messages that brought death to the bride tree, so that life was left only in the roots, so then there have to be four messengers of righteousness with messages to restore that bride tree. And the fourth messenger with the message of restoration was the capstone Christ himself. And of course it came according to Revelation chapter 10 verses 1 to 7 and so fulfilling Malachi 4, 5, and 6 and other marvelous scripture. So we're going to go back to page 75 of paragraph 5 and start reading. It'll be a recap, but we'll read and hopefully we can perhaps get this finished. Now it says here in paragraph 5, four killers took it, four messengers destroyed it. What? What is it? Well, that's the bride tree, the true church bride tree, that when united with Christ, the groom, would produce God's fruit. And that's what it is supposed to be. Now, you go back to the Garden of Eden, what God wanted there was to have a people whose headship would be the tree of life under the complete jurisdiction power of the Holy Spirit, and would literally reign and rule in the earth through the life that was given and the word that was given them by God. But you know what happened? The devil crept in, and he began to destroy, as that messenger, he began to destroy the messages, the message which was given to that bride tree. And remember, the bride tree only had to do one thing, and that was to just stay away from the tree of death. To stay away that which would bring death and to stay with that which would bring life. Now, remember, when you're talking of bringing life now, since Eve caused the interruption, if that tree was set there to bring life, and which would be immortality, because that's what Adam would have had could he have got there, and immortality and coming back and reigning the earth, you can see right now that the Word of God absolutely cannot be destroyed. It cannot come to the place where it cannot be fulfilled, but it has to be. So at the end time, we're going to have immortality, and they're going to reign upon the earth by reason of the tree of life, which is Christ. Now there again, you'll notice that tree of life united with that bride, which was Adam and Eve. They were the little group that was starting it to comprise it. It took to those together were at that time the complete authentic rulers of the earth, co-ruling. In other words, like Adam would be representative of the great king, and Eve would be representing the queen. But you put them together, then you have the two of them, bride of Christ representing queen, and you have the tree of life, which is the true one, which is Christ. And together, you'll notice that they were in a marvelous position as long as they stayed with the Word. Now, every time you notice, always there's a moving from the Word, a moving from the Word. And you can move from the Word by adding to it or taking from it, or you can ignore it completely. And in there, you see you got your believer, your make-believer, and your unbeliever. I mean, it's just really that simple. Now, there's lots of little, what you might call steps in there, but it all just goes back to that tree. Now, he said four killers took it and destroyed it. Literally destroyed the Word. So therefore, in destroying the Word, they would be taking some and more until they come to the place where there's no life. The Word cannot do what the Word is supposed to do. So, all right, what can you do? There's got to be some way to restore that Word. Now, I know that that sounds like it's oversimplifying, but Brother Branham said, it's in simplicity where you learn the truth. And anything that is not simple, is too complex, you just don't bother with it. That's why there's certain laws laid down in the Word of God. Like we say, Alpha and Omega, the two vines and things like that. Now he said, four killers took it. Four distinct attacks upon the Word. False revelations. Four messengers of death took it away in dogmas. Four messengers of righteousness restored back. That means as it fell away, it's got to start coming back. And you remember what he said. So let's look at the next paragraph. Prophesy, son of man. Now, their brother Branham, of course, is quoting Ezekiel. And this is where he came and told us, just not too long before he died, that son of man meant prophet. And that is true. And this is where you get it from Ezekiel. Can these bones live? I wish we had time. I got it written down here, but I have to miss it. Prophesy, can these bones live? Got the four stages of the coming forth of that church. Now, he calls it a church because it's true. That's the four stages of Ezekiel's dry bones coming. What's the four stages of Ezekiel's dry bones coming forth? But the life only came not when the sinew of the skin was on them. Now, watch. If you're going to have skin, you're going to have a complete carcass. Right? All right, now, you're going to go right to the place where the wheat is in the chaff, right? The wheat's got to have chaff. Sorry, that's the skin upon the bones. It came from just bones. Sinews got there. Flesh got there. The skin got there, but it was still dead. Now you got to breathe upon it. That's the way Adam was. Here he was. He was absolutely encased in flesh. But nothing was, the spirit was in there. But nothing was happening until the Holy Spirit was breathed into him. And then he was completely animated. And then as soon as that animation took place, you notice he could literally be divided by God into male and female. Take away the female part. So now the life would have a means of propagation. The life was always masculine. Actually, I don't even like using the terms masculine and feminine because it's merely for propagation. When you talk about the life of God, you transcend anything that has to do with the carnal idea of sexuality. That's just for propagation. That's why in the millennium, there's no such thing as a sex, as a male and a female, as though you're going to be radically different. You've got all this hogwash, erotic love, and all this crud that's going on now. It's a matter of straight fellowship and love in the life which is there. And the propagation is all over. So you see, so you understand, you know, what I'm doing, I'm hitting this junk that's going around the world. All right. But the life could only come when the sinew, which the skin was on them. Not when the skin was on it, but when the wind blew, which we know the wind did blow upon them. That's when it came back, that fourth message of life was brought back. Now, look, it tells you right there, it can only come in the chaff age, which is the baptism with the Holy Ghost age, just the same. Now, remember, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when the baptism with the Holy Ghost goes to seed, justification went, sanctification went, the baptism went, what have you got? You're finished. There's nobody going to get eternal life from this point on because nobody gets the Holy Ghost. It's run out. So what's God going to do? He's going to deal with the remnant. He's got to call for it. So therefore, in restoration, we found justification. It's true. Sanctification is true. The baptism is true. all the way down the line. The message comes, but God Almighty must dynamize the mechanics. And so now the mechanics are dynamized in this last time under the under Elijah. That's when it came back. That fourth message of life was brought back. Now, when the prophet came on the scene, that's when we begin to find life now is given back to the wheat. The chaff age is getting over, and that's Revelation 10, 1-7, Matthew 12, and Joel 2-25. Now, he says here, the fourth light is to come that will bring forth the same signs. See, okay, remember again, Luther, Wesley, William Branham. William Branham, one born out of due season. He should have been a messenger that age, but he wasn't. He came at the tail end to correct all the error, set it all in order. And when it's all in order, what can happen now? Life can come. God himself can visit the church as the tree of life and bring forth immortality, which means a resurrection. So we got it here. Now, the fourth light is to come. That's God in his message by vindication, is to come and will bring forth the same signs. That's Matthew 12. Watch. Justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark. Doctrine and holiness. What brought the leap back the leap? Pentecostal. What is it? Pentecostal. Leaves clap their hands with joy and rejoicing. Pentecostal. What? The fourth was the Word, which is Christ himself. The Word made flesh. Fruits of the fruit of the resurrection sign that Christ has finally, after justification being planted, sanctification being planted, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, organizations died out. See, right to the chaff. Each one see. And Christ has again centered himself like that cap of the pyramid. So what he's telling you here now is positively that headship is back in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Now we saw that positively over in Ephesians. That's the first chapter. But we also saw it in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, when the Lord would descend with heaven from a shout, which takes you to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first of them to sleep, verse 20. And then it tells you here, for as Adam all are made alive, even so in Christ all, as Adam, beg your pardon, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after a day there Christ at his presence. That word presence is still making people, oh man, I just don't know where they're coming from. I should really feel sorry and start praying for them, except I'm so disgusted at the stuff that they write. They don't even know what they're saying. They say exactly what the word of God, the word they're using, and saying the same thing about the presence with Moses, and they don't even know the same thing's going on today. And you tell me then they know the first thing about this message. They don't know the first thing about this message. They only preach it for conscience sake. They know something is there, and they can't figure it, so they're just going to dabble around the edges and try to bring their junk in on it. Oh, but no more conscience. Nate's got hips, as far as I'm concerned. Listen, then shall the end have come, shall come, when Christ shall deliver, when God shall have delivered the kingdom of God, even the Father. He's going to put all these things down, for he must reign, the one that's come down, in the cruise mother shout, putting all things in, being subject, because it tells you right here, in verse 27, for all things, for he put all things under his feet, when he says all things are put under him, it's manifest that he has left out which did put all things under him. You're talking about two people there. One thing occurring, which is going to be then transferred back to somebody else. And then notice 28, when all these things shall have been subdued, klusmut. See, there's got to be a complete subjection. Now, what in the world is a subjection all about? There can't be any subjection of anybody to anything unless there is a word and a law concerning it. So the one that is making all things subject to Christ, and what are the all things? Brother Brown said, we are the all things. He's making the bride subject to Christ, because the bride has not been subject to Christ. She's been horsing around, whoring around, with the devil's gang. I'm going to just nail it down flat. She's been a prostitute. Boy, if I wouldn't take that with my wife, don't think God's going to take it with his. Don't think God's going to stand for that tripe. Yet people think, oh, it's all right. The homosexuals come in, and even ordained women preachers. Yeah, yeah, it isn't all right. And they're going to burn in hell for the lake of fire. So let's get that flat. Now, if they close this out and kill us, you've got to be ready to get killed. You're going to die anyway. At least you can go down in the blaze of glory. Certainly. You ever seen a little wire put into a vessel of pure oxygen? It goes up in a blaze of glory. Just a bit of ash to the left. We're going to be that iron men. We're going to go up in a blaze of glory yet. Now, the church has got to be put in order. Now, you notice right here that God himself is subduing it to himself. How's he going to do it? He put man and woman here with the capability of believing and performing the word, and yet at the same time with a choice, and put them in the flesh which can be tempted. If we had a word body, a spirit body, we wouldn't be tempted. Oh, the word, you're going to be tempted in the word body. No such thing. And he said, oh, Brother Branham also said, little bride, you didn't even do it in the first place. You were tricked into it. So they were put here. So now, how is he going to get them back subject? Well, Eve didn't believe the word. So now he's going to have a bride whose womb is already closed to anything and everything but the word of God. And that's what Brother Branham said. That's how he's going to have it done. He's going to bring it all the way back. You see? Going to get it out away from organization. Well, all organizations have died out. And Christ has again centered himself like that cap of the pyramid. Remember, Christ is that word. And remember, that's the promise in Ephesians 4. That the church is going to grow up unto the headstone. And Brother Branham said, headstone is here, capstone is here. We have the capstone message of all ages by the capstone himself in spirit form. See, it's got to be spirit form because the dead haven't come out of the ground. And he hasn't brought those that are resurrected with him to meet those that are being resurrected or will have been resurrected a certain time and us changed. And it's all in dimension right here waiting for it. There's the proof right there in that picture, capstone is returned. Now notice, first line justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, then coming of the cap. What was the cap? The cap was sat on the flange of the pyramid. And the flange was there to keep the dirt out and everything else out. And the cap went, and when that is so perfectly honed and so perfectly ready to meet the capstone, and it tells you right there the capstone can come. See? All right. Let's go a little further here. What is it? That Holy Ghost bunch being honed out so that it can fit with the same kind of ministry that he had when he went away. And when he comes back, it'll catch the whole thing in the rapture, where they're justified, sanctified, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the pyramid will stand again, the house of God will live again, the tree of life is growing again. Now, what is he talking about, the tree of life there? Well, he's talking about the bride tree right there, of course. And the union with the it's becoming an absolute tree of life. And, of course, that's in Ephesians 1:15 and so on. Now, notice Brother Branham is talking about vindication here. And the vindication is what proves that the church is ready to receive the capstone, not within herself, but by reason of, I will restore, saith the Lord. So he takes the whore, literally, and restores her and marries her. Why? Because she's no longer a harlot when she's one with the word. That's exactly what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, and yet people don't want to believe it. Brother Branham used it, yet they still don't want to believe it. They'll search Brother Branham's message, quote by quote, to find everything they can use against the truth. And they, oh, we're in the truth, hallelujah, we're in the message. When are people going to learn you can quote the whole Bible inside out, first way and backwards and forward, weaving it out and be a million miles off target? There's no revelation. Brother Branham then sings a song, Nations Are Breaking, Israel Awakened, the signs of prophets foretold, Gentiles Day Number, the horrors encumbered, return to disperse to your own, and so on. Well, we'll go to the next page 77. Restore all the signs of Lot at the end time. Now, Brother Branham makes a statement over here, so honed out that he can fit with the same kind of ministry that when he went away. That's when he comes back, it'll catch the whole thing in a rapture. In other words, he's saying, what is he saying here? He's telling you that it's proven to be the capstone by the very things that are done according to Matthew chapter 4, but especially chapter 12, where they're done to the Gentile. And remember, the light to the Gentile does not go out. It goes on. He brings them right into victory, which is over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're standing right here to go into rapture, and all the other come out of the ground waiting to be caught up to see those with Jesus that are already out of the ground for 2,000 years at the great wedding supper of the Lamb. And he said he's honed them out. What's the honing out? By the Word. They went plumb to the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Then Brother Branham came on the scene at the end of the age. They listened to his message. They're honed out. And the ministry proves it, that the capstone is here, that the last messenger, there were two messengers, let's face it, number three and number four are right together. There they are in a picture. I hope people can understand that. Three and four stand right there, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And the seals are open, everything else, putting everything in divine order. That's what he's telling you in this little sermon he's preaching here. It's done, been done. Now, he said if it takes 25 years, 50 years, or 100 or tomorrow. I knew it wasn't going to be tomorrow. I'm sure he did too, positively, but he told the people, listen, don't get you thinking you're prophets. It could fool you come tomorrow. It could still fool you 100 years down the road. But he said, this is that last message as it was in the days of Noah. Now, he said, as it was in the days of Lot. The days of Lot are what? Two messengers go down to Sodom, and there's homosexuality. But also the fact is that Jehovah was made flesh amongst the people. Now, Brother Branham constantly said that God had made a promise that he would become flesh at the end time, become flesh again. In other words, come back in human flesh before he came back in his own flesh. Where he says, this spirit that I miss becomes incarnate to us, is going to come down here, he's going to take us up there, he's going to incarnate himself and come down here with us, it's absolutely true. But in the meantime, God is going to manifest himself in human flesh. Now I asked Brother Branham, what do you mean, Brother Branham, when you say the Son of Man manifests in human flesh? He said, that's a bride in every age. Remember, he said, if the hand does it, the body does it. So now, with the end time message, in the chaff stage, you have got in the position where God can now take the church up in a rapture. Now that's, he's telling us here, simple as ABC. And he's talking about the time of Lot. And he's not even worrying about the time of Lot, that condition. He's talking about chapter 18, where God's outside the tent in a human body. Now remember, that human body, what kind of a body was it? Brother Branham said he took a handful of dust, blew on it, and stepped in the body. Then when he got finished with the body, he stepped out of it. The body went back to dust. What about yours and mine? But you can't say that about Jesus. He didn't go back to dust. He couldn't corrupt. So in this end time, when the bodies would go to dust, what's going to happen? They're going to be changed like Sarah and Abraham, which means they'll bring back the Son of God, that Lamb, right down here with us, the Bridegroom. And God incarnates himself in him. That's absolutely, Brother Branham said so. That Spirit that's in him is Elohim. When he becomes incarnate to him, us, at the wedding supper, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then Brother Branham talks about the tent and Sarah. Why did Sarah laugh and so on? Jesus said it'd be the same thing at the coming. Oh, then, the evening light of Malachi 4 comes shining through the darkness, amen, to bring the evening light on the predestinated word, hallelujah. Now, what he's doing is lumping this whole thing together, weaving it back and forth without any thought of chronology or symmetry or any definition as to what follows what. He just weaves it back and forth. Now, you get the whole entire perfect picture. Let's face it, the picture has always been start with the prophet. God vindicates himself to the prophet, vindicates the prophet to people, and brings the word. There you got the perfect picture. And who is there all the time? God himself is there. What is he trying to do? He's trying to bring the people to himself by the word, which word they've left. Restore, restore, restore. Now he said it's the same thing at the coming. The light shining. Now remember, John the Baptist was a light that shone on the light. William Branham was a light that shone on the light. So therefore, brother, sister, as you see the vindicated ministry of Brother Branham and all the signs and marvels that are there, God manifesting himself in human flesh of the bride, the prophet having he doing these great works. This is the light that shines on Christ, because like Nicodemus now they say, no man can do these things except he be of God. Now, Nicodemus didn't even have a glimmer of what you and I have. See? And the people today can't go as far as Nicodemus. They don't see Brother Branham as that prophet. Why? Because he never came and said the things they wanted to hear. Oh, merciful God. If I just want to hear the things I want to hear, I as a person, I know I'm shocked. Because if I was an ordinary guy in the world, I'd want a man to come and say, drink booze, smoke pot. And I've never had that in my life. Womanize, rob banks. If you don't like a guy, kill him. So, Brother Bale, that's the wrong crowd. Hold it. Hold it. When those guys, those Pharisees, never said what I said as if I was a guy out there in the world wanting those things. He said, you are the sons of those that killed him. And all the judgment of God's going to fall upon you with your righteous, smart-aleck self-righteousness. They might as well have been smoking pot and drinking and whoring and everything else. Oh, yeah. Because right inside they're full of dead men's bones and filth. Your Bible said, thou shalt not bear the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And they were bearing it in vain. You know how it was in vain? Because they destroyed the literal truth of the Word of God. And the whole worship was in vain, because as Brother Branham said so truly, you cannot worship and serve God without a prophet. Amen and amen. I'll amen that till my last dying breath, because that's the Bible. Put my hand right there, raise my hand toward heaven, tell you, I believe that. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. He said, now, I will restore. That's right. The evening light has come. Oh, it will, shall be light in evening time. The path of glory you will surely find in the waterway, in the light today, buried in the precious name of Jesus, young and old, repent of all your sins. The Holy Ghost will surely enter in, for the evening light have come. It is the fact that God and Christ are one. There you are. One together, one in us. That's what Scripture says. And that, you know, I'm in the Father, you and me, and I in you. The same signs human beings can't do are manifesting themselves, just like John 15 and 25, if I have not done the mighty works that another man did, they not sin, but now they've seen them, both seen the hate of both me and my Father. You tell that to these people out here. And I love him, I love him. Oh, shut up. You think I'm going to call love hate when God calls that hate? I'm going to stand up here, say, I believe Dale's a man of God, he's not afraid to preach the word. And I'm going to misquote Scripture and try to make somebody feel good. Hey, that's not my job. My job is to rub anybody right now, and believe me, the rub isn't going to be what they're going to get when they stand in the lake of fire. My Bible says right here, if I had not done the works that no other man did, there it is right there. They had not sinned. They had not sinned. But they have it now. And they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. In other words, they have a hate relationship with God and the only begotten Son, and they call it love. Now get that flat tonight, people in this church. Well, I don't quite see it that way. You don't? You better ask God to anoint your eyes. Brother Branham used that same scripture. I never knew he used it, except the Holy Ghost brought it to my mind, and I found that he used it. And you know why, how he used it? He never quoted it. He just placed it. Now, there might have been one place where he actually quoted it, but I don't remember it. I know where he placed it. John 15:25-24, but he didn't quote it. Now, comes out the Word to bring forth the predestinated Word of God out of the roots of the tree back yonder that all denominations had refused and refused and refused, but they'll come forth alight. Now, what's God doing? Doing the same signs now he did back there then that human beings couldn't do. See? God vindicating his Word, absolutely, making his Word live, as Brother Branham said, as it has in every age under the prophet, and this age is now beginning to live. What they refused, he has proven by vindication to be the truth. Now, what is that doing? That's watering that life. It's coming together like in procreation to bring forth. Now, Brother Branham's been gone for 28 years. How many more years he's got to be gone before it actually brings it forth in maturity? Don't ask me. I'm not even interested. All I know is it's working. It's got to work because it's vindicated. Once you prove something, you don't have to keep proving and proving it. But he said they refused and refused and refused. That's three times, see? Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. But they'll come alight for it. There will come a light, will rise. Whereabouts? Over Jerusalem? No, sir. The evening lights will not rise in Jerusalem. The evening lights goes where? In the west. They had their day and refused it in Jerusalem. But the evening light shall rise in the west. What for? To shine upon the Word. What? To ripen the fruit. Bring forth the bride tree with the same signs and wonders and fruits they had at the beginning. Now, let's face it, Christ has never changed. God has never changed. Nothing about the eternal celestial has ever changed. So what are we talking about? We're talking about manifestation that proves the truth. Now, I've given you this scripture before, but let's go over here to the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to try to find it for you. It says here in verse 14, Ephesians 5, 13, but all things are reproved, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, you cannot reprove or judge unless you have the authority and the ability to do it. That's why you see the judge through seven church ages and finalized in the seventh. Now, remember, when Brother Branham talked to Jack Moore, he said, "Who is this one?" Brother Moore said, "Well," he said, "that's the Jesus Christ in his glorified body." And Brother Branham said, that didn't hold right. So what did he do? He went to God. And what was Jesus? What was this one? The judge in seven church ages. And at this time, he comes down here. According to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Because you can't have a prophet without a judge, because the Bible distinctly says all judgment is committed to the Son of Man, which means judgment is committed to a prophet. Because he's the only one that can tell you the meaning of the word, because he alone has gotten it from God. When he needs to go to God for it, he can go to God for it. That's what Brother Branham said, "If I told you a lie, I'd be a hypocrite." He's the only man that can say that, because if I told you a lie, I wouldn't necessarily be a hypocrite. But Brother Branham could go to God and get the answer. So therefore, if he came back with a different answer and gave it to you as a liar, he's a hypocrite. Now, there's a difference, brother, sister. Don't tell me there's not, because there is. And I've explained it to you. Now, this light here that came is to ripen the fruit. What does that simply mean? It's the same thing that tells you. It's to get the wheat out of the chaff. And it can only be done by identification. Because Adam couldn't identify with the tree of life. He'd already blown it. Huh? We've had 2,000 years of blowing it, and this time we don't blow it. We're identified. We've identified with Christ, and thereby we're Christ-identified. Now you can see, as I and my Father are one, at that day, you'll know I'm in the Father, and you and me and I in you. Now I tell you, that day, you'll know I'm in the Father, you and me and I in you. There's that day is right here, Brother Branham said. Now there's a mystery right there. And now we may touch some of this, because I'm going to tell you. I don't ask me to explain it. Brother Branham, my books, he just blows it. I don't even pretend to know some of these things. All I've always said, I can never understand the crossovers. I can understand that Jesus isn't God, and the only difference between him and God is sons have beginnings. That's what Paul says in Hebrews 1. So, all right, that's 100% fine. And there's no such thing as God the Son. And there's two of them, but one of them isn't God. One is the Son of God. And Jesus is not his own Father. And oneness isn't like your one finger. I can quote all these things. No problem. I don't pretend to have all the answers. All I know, there's one God. That's all. I don't have to know anymore. Get all kinds of masks. Even now they're taking a prophet, taking a handful of Melchizedek. Or Abraham, rather, at the time of half of Abraham at the tent, not Melchizedek. But he wasn't Melchizedek, but I think that's the same thing he blew in the dust. That was it. Now, the word will then bring forth its fruit in the season. The same gospel that Paul preached for vindication is back here, and it's going to bring forth the fruit in season, because that's what 2 Thessalonians says. It tells you right here in the second chapter, he says, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. What day? The day of the flame of him coming in flames, fire, taking vengeance. And at that time, we're supposed to be relaxed. And relaxation come under the seventh seal. So this then, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, is Revelation 10, 1-7. It's 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. Why? Because you can't have 16 different things. You got one descent. When he comes down for his church, Brother Branham said, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God came down for his lovely children. He said he never sent a cherubim, never sent an archangel, never sent an angel. He himself came down. So today. Amen. Amen. Then believe it. You didn't hear one thing about the Son in those days, did you? I'll tell you one thing. Don't try to cut the Son in where the Father belongs, and don't try to cut the Father in where the Son belongs, unless you've got 100% authority to do it. Now that's the tricky part. Brother Branham said right on tape he understood it, but he couldn't make it clear. Well, maybe somebody knows. I'm not pretending I got all the words. I'm not for 1 minute. But it's a toughie. All right, you ripen that to bring it to maturity, so the chaff pulls away from the wheat. Oh boy, it's a powerful punch that God gives in the end day, because that word gathered, as fat as any hand and gathers wheat in the garner, that means man. He gives it mighty blows to get the chaff away from the wheat. And Brother Branham gave him some mighty blows. Women marrying women, using men's clothes, women cutting their hair, all that sort of junk, and men going around like women. Oh man, he hit that one. That was very good. I appreciated that one. Now, the word will then bring forth fruit in the season. It shall not wither, but it bring forth its fruit. David said, in its season, amen. And it had the same fruit at the end as at the beginning. Now, let's go back and read that first psalm again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's Jesus standing right there, and anybody else can take the stand too. Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Anybody in religion can scorn another religion. The thing is, prove that you've got it right when you do the scorning. There's a world of turmoil right now. All those Muslims and Eastern religions, they sat there in India when Brother Branham proved who the only true God was and Jesus Christ was his son. What did they do? Nothing. They wouldn't listen. See? They're still scorning. Just big scorn, big laugh. I'm going to tell you, only God can laugh in derision. Only God can scorn. Yeah. Oh, they hate us. They scorn us for the truth. Of course, we don't have any right to scorn right back, but we're going to be with God in the derision part. Don't you worry. If he laughs, we're going to laugh too. Because he said, I'm going to show the day they're going to come and bow at your feet, and they're going to know whom I have loved. Right? Come on, that's quoting the scripture. I'm not outside the Bible. I'm not perverting it. I'm telling you the truth. Now, but his delight's the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. Now you're getting to New Jerusalem. That bringeth forth the fruit in his season. His fruit in his season. See? Now they tried to make Jesus bring forth his fruit in the wrong season. If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Come on, take care of these guys and make us a great nation. Come on, we got our ideas and you better fulfill them. He brought forth his fruit in his season. He was a lamb crucified and wounded, and he died upon Calvary and shed his blood. We're waiting now for his season. His season is right now, God putting under his feet the whole church, the whole world, everything. Knowing one day the Son's going to hand it all back, and that's when the Lamb is sitting on the throne, the bride around the throne, or in the throne with him, and the pillar of fire over it. That's the Omega, so you better understand there's an Alpha. Right? Amen. You people don't understand these things. Did you understand? Do you know people are in the grace right now? They just love to be sitting here and hearing this truth. People I preached to 50 years ago. They were scared of me back then. They're still scared. You don't have to be scared of me. Be scared of the Word of God. Notice his leaf shall not wither. What's the leafy season? Pentecost. Huh? Right in the leafy season of Pentecost, the shuck season, the chaff. He's going to have his fruit. He doesn't care what people say, what people think. He's going to have his fruit in his season. It's not going to wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. What's he been doing? Communicating down here on earth by mighty signs and wonder, proving he's God. Now watch, the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff. When's the chaff? Fourth stage. Third stage, rather. Last stage. The time of the harvest. When the life has gone out of the chaff. Isn't that strange? The life goes out of the chaff. Where does it go? Goes down in. So you can be like a chaff tonight. Not saying you are, but like a chaff. And you receive the Word of God, goes right down your heart. Proves you're wheat, right in the midst of chaff. Now, the wheat is not a part of the chaff. But the chaff had a part in the wheat. It was a carrier. Life went on. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand the judgment. They can't. They're going to get blown away because they're chaff. And this is the judgment. The Son of Man judgment. Come on, come on, come on. You can't change it. Brother Branham said, Son of Man is prophet, and all judgment is committed to the Son of Man. Now, you can play that back and forth, Son of Man, even the Son of God, when you know positively you're talking about a prophet, and God is in him, and that word, now the word is judging, you've got Son of God, because that's spirit. You're just talking about roles. R-O-L-E-S. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What does it mean, I know the way, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous? He gave it to them. He knew it for them. They're a part of it. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. See? Now, you've got that right to the end this hour. There's no two ways about it. Now, with his word, in his predestinated stage, that's the fourth one, the prophet, a message comes out of Laodicea, and he's got it now, and we see these words all being manifested. What is it? It's a perfect vindication that the coming of the Lord is at hand, and the time when he said, I'll restore, saith the Lord, all the cankerworms, Methodists, all the caterpillars eat, all the stripped it down, I'll restore in the evening time. Oh, phew, I could almost preach now, you know what I mean? Then he sings, oh, how I love Jesus, and I'll never forsake him. What's he telling you there? I mean, he's telling you very flat. In the hour of vindication, when it's all honed out, it's all over, in the down to the chaff age. The four beetles have done their work. Absolutely, that bug has destroyed. And you notice how the beetles came at the time of Pentecost back in the 50s? Beetles, you know, you're not kidding. I don't care where you go. Every word today means something. There is no word without a meaning. And there is no word without a consequence. That's why Brother Branham said, get rid of those TVs right here in Dayton. A boy 19 years of age had a pistol in his pocket. And his younger brother, I guess it was, took the pistol out and fooling with it. And he didn't even pull the trigger, he claimed, when his 11 years old kid. Didn't even pull the trigger. The gun went off, shot one little girl in the cheek, and went against the brain of the second little girl and killed her. And he said, I was just doing what I saw on TV. Snoop Doggy Dog did it. I did it too. I didn't even pull the trigger. So there's your TVs. Brother Brown said, I'd take an axe and bust it. Yeah. You do what you want, but I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. You keep that lousy, stinking thing around. My brother Bran said the people stopped going to picture shows, so the devil brought the picture show right in the house. All right, listen. At the very end time now, all these things mean something. These beetles, these bugs, absolutely chewed this down to where it was stripped down to the to the bare bone, like Ezekiel's dry bones, a bad situation. Now remember, you can say all you want about the life, the blood being in the marrow and the marrow being in the bones. You can put millions of tons of bones and millions of tons of the marrow, but the marrow can be dead as the bones. It rot away quicker. That's just science. How can blood be manufactured in those bones except there's life in that blood? Get those cells being manufactured down there. Don't everybody kid you, brother, sister. That's just chemistry. Chemistry is not life. Life has a chemistry attached to it. That's what chemistry is all about, is life. If it weren't for life, you wouldn't have any chemistry. That's, you just figure it out yourself. God put everything here in it, then he put the man here, everything propitious. Before there was a whale with the fin to swim, he had water to swim in. That's why the water is brought forth. All right, he said, Father, oh, we're reading up here. All right, he said, all those cankerworms and methodists and so on, all stripped down. In the evening light, evening time it shall be light. Now, watch. I will restore, saith the Lord, all that those cankerworms, caterpillars, locusts, so on, stripped on down. Now, what in the world did they strip down? Oh, that's such an easy question. Everybody can tell me. It's found in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And he says, I am espouse you to one husband as a present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But no, he said, you got all messed up by the womb of your mind. But I fear lest by any means a serpent beguiled thee through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted with the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preaches another Jesus, we have not preached, receive another spirit, we have not received another gospel. Alright, that's what it was. Started right back there. Notice three. Another Jesus, another spirit, another word. That does it. Right? Sure. It's all down to where something happens. And what's the fourth thing? It gets poured into one because there's three bugs, one bug in three stages, waiting for the fourth. And the fourth stage is right there, like the four horses, the apocalypse. The white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the brindle, all poured in one. So, all right, here's your big mess there. You're there at the end of the age. The church is completely antichrist based upon these three statements. Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Gets poured into one. It becomes incarnate. Now, all right, at the end time then, if God has sent a prophet, or has a prophet, and he is one with whom God himself consorts or comes down here in his with, which is true. We go then to 2 Thessalonians, which we have read, and it says, when he shall have come to be glorified in his saints, at the same time, There's flaming fire going to take vengeance on those that don't believe him. To be admired in them to believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Now, Paul himself said the world is going to be judged by one Christ Jesus, by his gospel, the one Christ Jesus. The Bible tells you that. By his gospel, by Christ. The same thing, no different. Brother Branham said he's the Word. All right. You got your picture here then. This is the time when the righteous can stand in the judgment. They won't get blown away, but the sinner does. Now remember, when you bundle the tares for burning, they aren't burned the time they're bundled. They're just brought together in a great big movement. Ecumenical organizational movement. And the wheat is moved out of here. So, all right. What I'm trying to show you this, what we're looking at, is in verse 10 here, verses 7 to 10, you have a progression. Because it says, the Lord came with his mighty angels. Brother Branham absolutely attested to it. Before the opening of the seals in March 1963, he attested to it. That they came down, seven mighty messengers came to him. And under the seventh seal, which is revelatory, he taught us that time and eternity have blended. Which in plain English means that every single thing you see at the end time is going on now. So don't look at the end time and say, well, I'm looking down there, bless God, 1,000 years or maybe longer. Well, if you are, you're wrong, because he said white throne is now. Are you following what I'm trying to get across to you? Because you're no longer in the time zone. See? You are in a mixture. Because you always were eternal. These bodies are time elements. But remember, the scripture says, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, only the elect, and whatever category they are, is God's business. Wise and foolish virgin, that's his business. Only they have a germ of eternal life. And the great God who wanted his family a certain way has made it a certain way. So what you're looking at here now is that time has run out because the tree of life has appeared. The bridegroom tree is here. The capstone is here. We're waiting for the resurrection and immortality and getting out of here. And that means absolutely there has to have been a judgment. People aren't going to believe this. I'm crazy. And the judgment you've got now is the white throne judgment. Because it's starting here and going plumb over there, because the Bible says in the book of Malachi, the last chapter, leaving neither root nor branch, and Brother Brown said right there, then how can you say there is an eternal hell? And they don't get cast in the lake of fire at the end of 1,000 years. And he took that verse to show you white throne now. Did he or didn't he not? Come on, I'm not standing up here as a fool. I know what he said. I was right there when he said it. So the picture is this, what you're looking at. The seventh seal is right here. It's part of it. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Revelation 10:1-7, Malachi, the last chapter. And you're in it now.
Yep.
So, what are you waiting for? Oh, well, yeah, that's right, Why don't you get out of the picture? I'm asking you, what are you waiting for? All around the country. They're waiting for this guy to rise up. Sheely comes along to take him back to Pentecost. Rourke comes along, take him back to Pentecost. Reagan comes along, take him back to Pentecost. I look for Joseph to take him back somewhere. Joseph too smart. He said, he's already told you. In fact, Joe blew him out of the water, got everybody mad. He said, you come to church, you come tonight, and I'm going to answer every one of your questions. Well, they came running. They're going to ask about him and me, and maybe not me. I hope not anybody else. All the questions. He said, I'm going to answer all your questions. Pick up a bunch of spoken word books. He said, it's all here in these books. Kid had more brains than a whole bunch of them put together. Well, he's not a kid anymore. Merciful God, I was preaching for years. He was born in 1955. That's 38 solid years. I started preaching when I was about 20 years of age. Got full time at 22, took a little time off. Been going live about the last 50 years. So, all right, you're looking at this seventh sealer. Now he said, amen, you love him. Now he prays. Shall we have a prayer line? Father God, in your hands, I commend this message. Though it's been chopped up some way, I pray the Holy Spirit will take it on these tapes across the nation. And if I be taken from this earth, may this live, Lord. It's your word. Let the evening light shine, Lord. Bring forth the glorious bride of Christ. Bless it, Lord. May it not return to you void. May it accomplish that which has been purposed for. Granted, Lord, all praise be given unto you. No, he's just telling you flat here. Look, he said everything he needs laid up on those tapes. Everything you need was brought forth under the seventh seal, the seven thunders. He'll put you in a rapture. What more does anybody want? Everybody wants something to come when it's already here. It's the same old thing that it was either one of the Gordons. Or it could have been, I forget, there are two Gordons and they are not the same. One Gordon was a pastor in Boston, another was another Gordon, both great men of God. But one of the Gordons who was pastoring a church in Boston said, he said, which is the worst crime or sin before God? And he took the text when his mother his mother and his so-called father, Joseph, they thought that he was in the caravan and he wasn't. Now he said, what is the worst thing in the world, he said? Is it a greater sin to believe he's with you when he's not, or to believe he's not with you when he is? And I would say the greatest sin of all is to believe he's not with you when he is, even though he will take you through. In other words, when we have vindication, what are we crabbing about? What are we bellyaching about? What are we sobbing about and crying for? Instead of just praising God that is here. Trials and tribulation and squeeze, even death by torture, does not eradicate, eliminate, or have one effect upon that and that upon us. There's something wrong somewhere, and it sure isn't with God and His holy word and His wonderful prophet, William Branham, I can tell you that. Nothing wrong with the vindication. Hallelujah. All right, now, we know, Father, no matter what we would say, it's still word and we believe it, but we desire Thee, Lord, in this Easter morning, this Easter message, see, that Thou wouldst prove to this congregation, maybe some here for their first time, that You are still Jesus, that You're not a dead form, that You are a living, resurrected God, that You live among us today. Grant that, Father. We'll praise You through Jesus' name. Now listen, if that isn't Jesus-only talk, the Church Age book has every bit of this in here when it's pointing to Godhead, Godhead alone. You got people sat right in this church that didn't believe it's the truth. Now come on, figure that one out right there. And throw in there the only begotten in the bosom of the Father. Now you tell me all about Godhead. Well, come on. That You're still Jesus. We desire Thee, Lord, in this Easter morning. Huh? What Lord is He talking about? The Bible said when God raised Jesus, He made Him both Lord and Christ. And now you got two Lords. Well, one's the Father, one's the Son. One's God and one isn't God. Who's He talking to? Jesus only. People say, aha, Brother Branham, Jesus only. Brother Branham said, I'm not Jesus only. He said, look at this. You can't make God like your finger. One. Can't make Jesus His own Father. He never said Jesus prayed to Himself either. When they talked about the fact when Jesus prayed, that was God manifest in flesh. How come? He said, haven't you ever prayed to the Spirit within you? And I'm going to tell you something right now, brother, sister. More people should be praying to the Spirit within than God who is sovereign, the great Spirit, Almighty God, who just gave us a part of His life. Because if you and I want victory, if we want to settle down, If we want anything out of this word, we'd better look within to the spirit within us and calm ourselves down and yield ourselves totally. But when something out there needs being done, that's when you can pray in Jesus' name and ask the Father to reach down and do something. Victory is absolutely denied us because we're ignoring the Christ within us. All the, oh God, do something, oh God, do something, over here, over there. Yeah, even kneel down and pray to a picture maybe. Now, I'm not just being facetious. I know much more than you know when it comes to this subject. Not boasting, but I'm talking of people. I've got certain people in my mind that have asked me, certain, not you people here. No. That's about page 81. Let's run to page 81. Now, look at something here. What paragraph would be page 81? Yeah. Do you believe? Could you believe the same thing that the woman believed, that he is the Word of God? Now, the Bible says today he's our high priest. Who's he talking about? If you talk about a high priest, you got to talk about a man. Come on, right? Oh, yeah, high priest got to come from mankind. Yes, because he's got to know all the afflictions, all the feeling infirmity. He's got to know all the temptations. He's got to be fully identified having been one. Who's the high priest after the order of Melchizedek? Jesus the Lamb. The Brother Bannon said, God, 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 God. That could have been in the body. But he said, God took the body up and set it on the mercy seat behind the throne, right? And the Bible said, the Lamb from behind the throne, from the mercy seat, came and took the book out of the hand of him that sits on the throne. Right? And then the Lamb took the book, ripped the seals off, handed back to the Father, and he climbed on his Father's throne, and the one of the rainbow, what happened? He came down here, right? You're not looking at me as though you believe it. You haven't read the seals. You haven't been listening to the tapes, Brother Branham. What time you get back to the Word? I'm just bringing this up to let you know. I have never pretended to have all the answers or crossovers and all the... All I know is this Almighty God was there in the beginning. Nothing but Spirit and a light formed. And that was the Son of God. And Brother Branham said so. And a conversation went on. And that's what Paul said. And the Holy Spirit came here and explained the truth to a prophet. Oh, it can't be. There's got to be three of them. Hogwash, there's three of them. There's not even two of them. There's one. And by the grace of God, there's millions of sons. I wish there were billions. All right, listen. Now we know, Father, no matter what we would say, it's still word and we believe it. But we would desire thee, Lord, in this Easter morning that thou would prove this congregation, maybe some here for the first time, that you are still Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ is a good term, nothing wrong with it. It's your Lord. Do you know the word Jesus is? It's Joshua. It means Jehovah Savior, and there's only one Savior, and that's God. Now, if God had his own plan of redemption, which he did, and he wrought it through Jesus Christ, I'm just going to leave it there because I don't know anything more about it. And William Branham's not here to teach me, so I can teach you, or he can teach you, and you'd get better than I could. I don't know. Now, you are still Jesus, that you're not a dead form, that you are a living, resurrected God. If you're resurrected God, it means that God must have died sometime. This is not so strange. What did Brother Branham say? God's an object of worship, right? So if you worship Jesus, he's God, right? But not the Father. And he's not God as God the Father. And he's not God, period. As Brother Branham said, he's God, but he's not God. Maybe you're so smart tonight, you got it all figured out. You say, that you, well, Lee, if you wrote the Church Age book, you'd write it over again, you'd write it different. No, I wouldn't. Because in the Church Age book, we discuss Godhead, not relationships like we do. I never took anything. Brother Branham went right by the whole thing. He said, that's it. Now, you go to that book, and you're going to find all the language, just as this language here. See, there's not two spirits. Just one. He said, how many sick here? Let me see your hands. Raise up your hands. Did Billy Paul get the cards out? Oh, yes. He got the cards out. Yes. Here they are, E1 to 100. Now he says down here in page 70, and Father God, just a word from you will mean so much. Let the people see, Lord. I tried to be honest, tried to make them, tell them your word, Lord. Forgive your servant's mistakes. I just make some in them, Lord. I pray that you'll not look at your servant's mistakes, but you'll look at your word, which I'm trying to preach. Now he's not saying he made mistakes preaching the word. He's saying he just didn't perhaps enunciate his words right or put them together exactly right. So that the erudite would catch it, and the simple would catch it, and everybody, hey, this is Superman, we can all understand him. He's just saying, Lord, I make mistakes and people just don't get it. See? You said, you'll not look at your servant's mistakes, you look at your word, which I'm trying to preach, Lord. I thank you for it. I'm glad with all my heart, Lord. It's more than life to me. I would give my life for it any time. I know it's true. It's your word. Please forgive my stupid ways, Lord. Many times I josh and joke, and I shouldn't do so. I'm ashamed of that. I just come from that kind of a family. Huh? Oh, boy, do they criticize me for my... Of course, I do tell some pretty bad jokes. What if you come from that kind of a family? What if you're an American? Huh? This is my adopted country. I'm more American than most Americans are. Because I whistle all the time through every graveyard, night and morning. I know we got a bomb heading for us. I'm always laughing and making jokes. You ask my wife, she'll tell you. I can be mad as a hatter 1 minute and turn in a joke the next minute. I'm thinking of goofy things all the time and in many ways. My doggerel is especially offensive, I know. Part of our tradition, not that we have to have it, we can get rid of it and then go around the long, sour face. Ha! If I had a long, sour face with the way I preach, you better believe nobody would come back the second sermon. And I love you too much. I wouldn't want you to. He said, can you forgive me, please? I confess it. Now I've confessed my sins. I confess the sins of this people. Remember what I taught you last Sunday? Let the priest go before the porch and the altar, confessing his weeping, confessing his sins and the sins of the people. Huh? I pray, God, you forgive him, each one. May the people realize we're just not trying to put on some kind of an act. It's the Holy Spirit in the last days bearing record to his word, just as I have said. But Father, no matter, I'm just a man. And if I'd say it, they say, well, that's his interpretation. That's what he thinks about it. We know better, you know. We know better. We got all the answers. He has no answers. Who's this guy Branham? He said, who's this guy Lee Dale? Nobody. I never asked to meet Brother Branham. A friend of mine asked me if I wanted to meet him. And I know too good a thing not to... I should turn it down? Come on. You want to take me to the... No, I wouldn't say that. I was going to say Mason. I've been there. The last time I went, you can have it. Take me to some other good restaurant. Even down here at the Farringdon. I'll go with you as long as you pay the bill. Follow what I'm trying to tell you? See? Certainly. See? It's the Holy Spirit in the last days bearing record of his word, as I've just said, Father. I'm just a man. That's his interpretation. That's what they think. But Father, if you'll just speak and prove that it's right. What is he talking about? The doctrine. The substance, the meat of what he's saying about God himself, his Son Jesus Christ, that word that came to us, the prophets, the church and all, everything he says, the doctrine is perfect. If you'll speak one word to prove it's right, then they'll have to cross over you. Watch. They'll have to cross over you. That's crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, to get by with the Lord. Then it won't be my interpretation if you put your seal upon it, see? It'll be yours. Grant it, Lord. And if I be your servant and my sins forgiven, and you call me for this work, then speak it, Lord. I pray you'll grant it. Heal the sick and afflicted everywhere in Jesus' name, I pray. And you'll just make your name known to us like you did at the well with the woman there with the five husbands. Remember, she had a sixth one that wasn't her husband. And so she better finish the deal off by getting the seventh, which would be the right one. And all the others would have to die, right? Huh? Yeah. All the six ages gone bluey. The seventh age gone bluey too. Except he stands here as our husband. Praise the Lord. Now you told her something was wrong with her. She had five husbands. Now you promised the evening time. You promised the last days. You said it shall be so in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Elijah, it would be that way. God living in human flesh, moving among us in the form of his church, in the Holy Spirit, performing the same signs. If the hand does it, the body's done it. Here's the bride's own vindication, and they turn it down. Here's the bride saying, we have done it. It's done. The word is fulfilled. Well, bless God. This guy Branham, we know I've had some signs and wonders too, bless God. I've had a vision or two. Oh, yes, me. And we're. Huh? The capstone hasn't come for people like that, brother, sister. The issue has not been settled for people like that. The doubts have not been rolled away for people like that. It's live, die, sink, or swim. We've been tied to a log. Now, God knows if there's water log, then we're going to sink. Or we'll get on and float down the current. Now, there's no use getting on a log, this water log, and we'll sink with you on it. Or some type of hardwood, ironwood that's so heavy, if you do get on, it's bound to float, or it will whirl and toss you on. You see what I'm trying to tell you? You better know that somehow you've been qualified to pass through the dark waters, and you'll be troubled. But you will make it, because God will let you know. Yeah. Then I pray that you'll let the people see it and everyone be healed and saved for the glory of God. Amen. I'm going to call your attention now. You'll just be real reverent. Are you sure you're realizing the position I'm in here now? I preach the word here, the word of God. I've said it's all true. Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now I want to ask you a question. Be careful whether you say amen or not now. Jesus himself never claimed to heal anybody. That's true. He said, it's not I that doth do it, the works is my Father that dwelleth in me. Is that right? And Jesus said in John 5:19, verily, verily, I have surely said unto you, the Son of Man himself is a man. He was just a tabernacle where God lived, see. And he said, the Son of Man can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. Otherwise, in other words, the Father shows me a vision of what to do, and I just do as he tells me. Now, who's going to believe that? Well, I just wouldn't reduce Jesus to that kind of a prophet that had to have a vision. Can you just hear those Southerners down there that can't believe anything except corn pone and wheat gravy of some kind? Huh? I'm not hitting the soap, but that it always kind of tickled me down there, you know. You just hear, hey, listen. You're not going to tell me that Jesus had to have the vision. Well, I can't see that for 1 minute. Why, this man is the second person of the Trinity. Why, he's perfect one with God, the same mind, the same essence. And he knows the will and he does it. Well, I got news for you. Jesus didn't say that. So now you're trying to tell Jesus you're smart and he and say, now, Jesus, you shouldn't have said that. You're just being modest. Yeah. And humility can only go so far, you know. We know you're that second person of the Trinity. You're just teaching us a little lesson how to be humble. Yep, that's it. Well, if I had to believe that, brother, sister, I would throw this Bible in the garbage. Either believe it or don't believe it. I'm preaching strong here. These are some of the things I found it hard to swallow. Jesus had visions. He had to wait for the answer. Because he said, I only do what he shows me. I only tell what he tells me. Now one day we find this little woman couldn't get into prayer line. She had a blood issue. Had it many years. She touched his garment, same within herself. She was insignificant. She was just a poor little old woman. Didn't have any money. She couldn't get up where those priests were and all of them standing there who had the right to stand there and everything. So she couldn't stand up there. She just crawled around. She must have gotten the ground to crawl around. She must have got real low. And she touched his garment. She said, I believe he's just exactly what he says he is. He brings us the truth, the light. I believe he's the word of God. If I can just touch him, I'll be made whole. Now, I want to tell you something. She approached him as God, very God, at that moment, because God was in him. She went past the flesh. Because Brother Branham said of John 1:1, if you make Jesus the Word, you've got three gods. Huh? Did he say it? Oh, yes, he said it. I read it over the pulpit here. I've quoted time after time. Now, you do what you want with that, but that's the truth. That's the case when he was God, but he wasn't God. What she touched was not God, but what she did touch was God. In other words, what she touched that wasn't God didn't mean anything. He had meant something. Because Brother Branham said she recognized God in that man. The others couldn't. Do you believe, could you believe the same thing that woman believed, that he is the Word of God? God manifests in flesh now. Now the Bible says today he is a high priest. So he's gone from that, from that, to the high priest role. All right, now here's one, the Son of God. He's just like you and me. Bypassed that form, now he's got the form. He becomes the tabernacle of Almighty God. Now, right now, he's God to the people 100%. When he dies, before in Gethsemane, God himself departs. On the cross, why hast thou forsaken me? Into thy hands I commend my spirit. His soul went down to Hades. The body was taken up to heaven, and there that one, God manifest in flesh, and God to the people as the prophet, and God, very God in him, and the whole completeness as he was, and nobody, Moses, William Branham, Paul, all rolled into one, never, never, one like him only. He stood there. And that great one that gave all that preeminence left him, and now, because he suffered and died, perfectly identified a man, that one is our high priest. He is the mediator and the intercessor. He gets you in and he keeps you in and he helps you. And he helped you already by the Holy Spirit, who also maketh intercession. Now these are strange things, but they are the truth. They're in the Bible. He's our high priest. Do you believe that after his resurrection, his ascension, he ascended on high and gave gifts to men. Now sitting at the right hand of God. Sitting at his own right hand? Wonders don't answer any question to me. They confuse every issue under God's high heaven. There's only one person I know that deconfused, tried to make clear, was William Branham, and he brought the truth vindicated. What's the difference between the Father and the Son, or God and Jesus? There isn't any difference except sons have beginnings. And he's talking about the essentiality, the essence of the true being, the man himself. Like he said, my eyes, my ears, who's me? A gene of God, your soul. In a human body, and that makes all the crusty difference and crummy difference is the body. Because we're sensate. And you can only know God by a revelation, and everything else out here you know by education and science and God knows what, and that little still small voice, that little revelation that God can give is so hard to get across. Because why? We have five senses here and only one inner sense. You got five against one battling day and night. Now I'm not Samson. Neither are you. It's a fight, but it's a good fight. And we're winning the battle. All right. Listen. He ascended on high, sitting in the right hand of God, on the majesty on high, to make intercessions upon what we confess. Is that right? If he's the high priest that can be what? Touched. By what? By the feelings of our infirmities. Now, do you believe in the same? He's the same. All right, now look. If you come here, you touch me all day long, it wouldn't make a bit of difference. If you touch my brother or my sister, it wouldn't make a bit of difference. Just the order of laying on of hands. That's all. It's just a little formula. That's all. But if you touch him, that's all you have to do. And look, if you touch him with some kind of ritual like they did, they said, oh, we believe this great teacher is just a prophet. Why? He didn't say nothing. But that little woman had a certain something that touched him. Her faith. That's her inner sixth sense. She touched his garment. He said, who touched me? Don't you believe that the Bible said he's the same priest today as he was then? He can be touched the feeling of our infirmity? You can touch him out there, whether you're in a prayer line or not, if you're sick, or if you've yelled about one that's sick, if you've got something on your heart, just reverently come before God and say, God, I don't know about that man standing, this William Branham. He's a little bald-headed man. He's nothing. But I believe that what he preached is the truth, and I believe that what he said is the right thing. Now, see, that's what a prophet is. And that's what it's all about. Truth. T-R-U-T-H. And without truth, there is no G-R-A-C-E. And without those two, there's no L-I-F-E. So it all boils down to F-A-I-T-H. But it better be the right knowledge and understanding. See, man, God cut that vine. But I love him for doing it. That's how 8 people made the ark. 8 people really full of the Holy Ghost for this hour. No, there's going to be more than that. That's just like a percentage. See, I don't know the man. And if he's told the truth, then you use his lips to speak back and tell me, just like you did that woman back there. See, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, do that. Now, that's a marvelous challenge the prophet is giving. And he's laying it in the hands of the people. Test me, find me. If that isn't just to make him the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't it? Now, that's part of it. And you know what the other part? That Hebrews 13 and 6 goes back to Genesis 18. Because we don't know if this person, having touched him, will get that healing or not. Should. But I've seen the prophet whirl and look at somebody and know they were being touched. Nothing happened. Only believe all things were possible. He said, coming down off the mountain, there stood the disciples. They were defeated in an epileptic case. The father standing looking at his child crying. The disciples were going through all the maneuvers. Oh, I love that. But it wouldn't work. Jesus came walking up. Some said, there he is. Somebody pointed him to Jesus, away from the clergy to Jesus. Clergy, disciples. 11 of whom he dearly loved. Just calls them a clergy. He's calling himself just a clergy in the presence of God. That's where I want to point people, not to me or the church, but to Jesus. He said, he is able. So the father ran, fell down his feet and said, Lord, have mercy on my child. He's possessed, very possessed with the devil. Times he thrusts at the mouth, falls down in spasm. He actually threw himself in the fire, epilepsy. He said, I've taken him everywhere. Even your disciples couldn't do anything for him. And Jesus said, I can if you believe. For all things are possible to him that believeth. Then he sings, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Oh Lord, the word's gone out here now. Let the evening light shine, Lord, make it live. It's already been living and shining. He wants the people to come in and receive what is in there. Don't look at somebody else in the crowd saying, hey, oh, look at that marvelous thing that Brother Branham said. Oh, look at that great healing took place. It's for the bride. It's the bride's bread. It's the children's bread. And he's letting people know, though, this, listen, don't you understand? This is a judge standing here. And he can't just call the bride in a secret chamber. He can't do that and talk to her. It's got to go before the world because he judges the world in righteousness by one Christ Jesus according to the gospel of Paul. It's got to go to the entire world and the entire church. Now he's exhorting those that are apart, who have a right to the children's bread, to receive healing, to receive the help, to get what the Easter resurrection, the resurrection provided, not just for your soul, and these other values which are so outweigh the body, because when he's talked about the body, he said the body is more than raiment, the life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. He just cut it down to a couple of things. But he said, listen, children, there's healing for you. And I want you to know what I prove to the whole world should make you receive right now to reach out and touch him because he's here to be touched. You, no matter if you come like the woman with 5 legal husbands, booted 5 out, and you're living with a dud now in a common law marriage, but you're waiting for the real one to come along. And that's what we've been going on for 6 solid ages, to the 7th age. Right to the chaff age, and he's saying, Christians, listen, sons of God, children of God, can't you realize that what you've seen is reality? And if it's real, why are you here except to receive what reality gives, what God can give? That's still a tough statement, but it's still the truth. Now, this is the end of the series. Let's rise and be dismissed as we do. And as we do, we can pray and ask God to heal everybody here that needs healing. And you can take it with you. Believe me, I've seen tremendous things in Brother Branham's healings. I've seen lots of healings of my own. I know that it's only my own absolute inertia. It's my own lack of confession and keeping with it till my body obeys what my testimony says concerning the Word of God. And we have the right to that confession tonight to pass it on and receive our healing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence, Lord, at the end of number 15, the conclusion of this series. And Brother Branham had a prayer line, which we don't have particularly here tonight, because many times he didn't. He said coming into prayer line, laying on of hands was a Jewish rite. We do not despise it. We do not put aside. There again, it might be on inertia and foolishness and all these things to keep us from it. But many times, Lord, he prayed, and the people were healed wondrously. You just picked them out of the audience. It's marvelous that your name was glorified at that time. And so, Father, now we don't need a prayer line, but we pray, Lord, for every single person here. Just as, and we know, Lord, if you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if Brother Branham were here tonight, it wouldn't be one bit different from what it was then. It would be still people believing what he preached about the vindication, you vindicating yourself, vindicating to him, vindicating him, vindicating the word, the people believing, people coming and touching, not the flesh, but touching God, knowing the same thing, the same one today, never changes. And Lord, no matter what people say, they can talk about roles and judge and everything else. You have never laid aside your word that said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And even there, Lord, we know in the New Jerusalem, strange to say, hard to believe, hard to understand. And not hard to believe because it's true, but hard to understand. And Lord, we're not even trying to understand. The tree of life is there with the leaves for the healing of the nations. Don't understand. We know it's true, proving you again, same yesterday and vain forever. You don't change, Lord. You're that healer. And I pray tonight, Lord, you'll send a deep settled peace into the hearts of the people tonight that need healing. To know that you have touched them down so deep within the soul, that that soul, Lord, now radiates with the faith and the love and the power and strength of God. As Paul said, we've not given the spirit of fear. Rather than given the spirit of fear, we've given the courage, the spirit of love and of courage and of a sound mind. That same life there, that same spirit, Lord, as John said, I wish above all else you may prosper and be in health. Even as your soul prospers, guarantees to us the healing for our bodies, which, Father, we thank you for and praise you, that you have helped us and do help us, and we shall live and praise the Lord. And by your grace, we'll do it in better circumstances of bodily alignment and reconciliation than ever before. And above all, Father God, receiving healing from you for one purpose, to give us strength, Lord, to serve you the better, no matter what it is. To spend and be spent, that your name be glorified. Unto you we give the honor and praise in Jesus' marvelous name, and thank you. Amen. Take the name of Jesus.